Hey everybody, what's good? This is the Blacker Than Usual podcast, a series of politically based conversations that unpack the underlying gaps within Black culture, business, and relationships. Your host, J-Dub, that's me, strives to address the crucial conversations that will strengthen the connection towards moving our culture forward. Listeners should expect an informed conversation from personal experience and thought-driven insight on the top issues affecting our Black and Brown communities. So with that, sit back and enjoy.
Good and terrible.
Well, hello again, lovely listeners, boys and girls, children of all ages, 5 to 95. Welcome back. This is another episode of Blacker Than Usual. We're just going to touch on a few things here. Well, three things to be exact. I don't know if we're going to fit these all in one episode. It'd probably be a multiple. And the way I look at my notes here, yeah, this may take a few episodes. Right now, we're going to keep going with Blacker Than Usual politics, and we are about to dive into the three branches of government. Federal government, that is. The three boys at the top. The three boys and girls at the top. Composed of three distinct branches. Legislative, executive, and judicial. These powers are vested by the U.S. Constitution and the Congress, the President, and the federal courts, respectfully. So sit down, you know, I'll make this pretty real and real quick to the point here. So we're going to start off one that everybody knows off top. Now, these are basic courses, basic civics that you may have picked up in a fourth grade, fifth grade, maybe that one freshman class that you was mandatory to take and you went to sleep in and cheated off the dude paper off in front of you because the girl on the other side was trying to hog her paper. She didn't want to show you the answers. That basic civic poli sci class probably went over these three branches. But just in case you forgot, like most humans, we're going to go ahead and Blacker Than Usual politics unpack these right now. So again, let's start at the top. The head. Who at the top of this thing? Joe Biden or Barack Obama or Donald Trump or Bill Clinton or, I don't know, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, all of them, all the 40 plus presidents, the executive branch. They carry out the laws, y'all. They carry them out. These are the president, the vice president, the cabinet, and most federal agencies. The constitutional powers of a president are to appoint federal judges. They handle veto legislation. They inform and convene Congress. They pardon individuals convicted of federal crimes. These are great things, you know. These are a few powers that the president has that can delegate at any time. They also have the right to veto any bills that come through from the legislative branch, or they can put an executive order. I call it the EO. It's like the big Joker card. They can pull the EO at any time. It can may sway some voters in their demographic, midterms, primaries, things like that, and it may can offend their voting base. So they try not to do too many executive orders, but that's the power of the president. The duties of the vice president. First in line of succession. I mean, if something happened, have you seen, what's the one, when they blew up the White House? It's on Netflix. Oh, I hate to make a movie reference and I don't remember the title. I should have wrote it in my notes before I said it, huh? But I didn't. Either way, the line of succession after the president is the vice president. They preside over the Senate with the vice president. Selected for political reasons, you know, Democratic or Republican. You know, you might not have what I have, but someone else has some similar qualities. I want them to co-sign me. I want them to be my backup just in case. Historically, ceremonial role, an advocate for the president's policy. So when the president said, this is what we want to do, the vice president used to go out and say, yeah, this is what we're going to do. Vice president does that. And also just a safety net just in case something happens. Another thing that could happen is impeachment. Right now, our current president, Joe Biden, this week, actually, has had the people from the other side, the Republican side, say, hey, we see what your son, Hunter Biden's over there doing, drugs and guns and foreign embezzlement and trafficking and pimping off the family name. Well, that's not right. And as his daddy, you knew about this. So they trying to put impeachment papers up against President Joe Biden at this very moment, y'all. But there's a process for impeachment. The House does a majority vote. The Senate conducts the trial. And a Senate needs a two-third vote in order to remove the president from office. As you may know, previous president, Donald Trump, you know, he had these things happen to him. How many times? Two, three times? Four, five, six times? But that Senate vote of two-thirds to remove him from the office just didn't happen. That's like, we know you did it, or we allege you did something. We got enough people to agree on it, but we ain't got enough to just say you lose your job. So the impeachment process has started for our current president as well. Thanks to the Presidential Succession Act of 1947, it goes as follows. Again, the president, vice president, the speaker of the House is next. So we don't like Kamala or Miss Vice President Harris. Let me get it correct. Then it goes to the speaker of the House. And the president pro temp of the Senate is after that. Now, after that, I'm not sure, y'all. After that, we in some trouble. It may be the Book of Eli at that point if we have to get past the pro temp. But it's cool. A little bit more back on the president, him or herself. The president has the right to refuse to testify before or provide info to Congress or court. Basically, like, look, I ain't going to talk to none of y'all. I'm the president. What I say goes, and even if you find something, you got to get two-thirds to get me up out of here. I don't care. And that's it. Executive privilege. Any cases, anything, you know, dismissed. I'm the president. We can add that to current times with Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden. They're going to ask him what it is, and then, well, no, he don't have to say nothing. He's going to just shrug it off. He ain't going to give you the Mitch McConnell froze, Mr. Freeze stance. But he can just deflect and not even answer. Executive privilege not to answer certain things. But who does the president answer to? Well, that's up for debate. That's up for extreme debate, depending on who you ask. There are some agencies that aid in the president's power and authority and reach, similar to the NSA, the National Security Agency, or the NCS, the National Safety Council, or the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, or above them, known as the deep state. It goes deep. Shout out Edward Snowden. He did some exposing, and now he's still in a foreign land because of exposing some of the dark things that they were doing, tapping phones, looking to evading people's privacy, invasion of privacy of American citizens, things like that. Check out Edward Snowden. You can follow that rabbit hole all you like. But these are a few agencies that the president has direct power over on paper. And in real life, they almost certainly have direct influence on him or her. But it's all good. We ain't going even going down the conspiracy theory lane. I'm going to tell you about a few of those agencies that the president gets aid from. The NSA, NCS, and CIA. Go down them rabbit holes at your own time. Also, the president has tools. Like Toodle. You know, Mickey Mouse Club sometime in the White House. And a little Toodle comes by. And these tools are at the aid of the president. The Democratic State Department. The Diplomacy Department, the Trade Deals Commerce Department, the Military Defense Department, and the Pentagon, and certain things like that. These are tools that the president can rely on in times of war, in times of distress, in times of taxes, inflation, in times of needing more money printed for Ukraine, and a host of things. The diplomacy of wartime tactics. Things of that nature, the president has like the green light. You know, he got to do some checks and balances. He can't just go hit a button and everything just flow. Because then again, that could be a problem with the base and constituents. But the president has these tools at their expense. It's crucial. These are some of the top priorities of the executive branch. The executive branch is the branch that the president oversees by way of the vice president, speaker of the house, and so on and so forth in line of succession. These are great things. This is the first, I guess you can say it's the first branch of the federal government. I would say it's the top, though, because that's the head. That's how that thing swivels. Well, okay, Dub. Well, that's the president. I kind of knew that already. Well, who after that? Like, who else got something going on? You said it was three. Well, yes. Let's go on to the second one while we're here. The legislative branch. They make the laws. We just talked about how the president goes ahead and carries out the laws, you know, and do certain tools and tactics. The legislative branch makes the laws. It compiled of Congress, comprised of the House of Representatives and the Senate. So, you know, in prior times, some presidents were like, hey, it is what it is. Just get it to my desk. Or, I don't know. I haven't signed anything. But, you know, if it's here, it's going to be awesome. Just get it to my desk. And Joe is, you know, in current. Well, we can get people to get it done through Congress. Congress has to do it. And when Congress does it, we'll get it done. You did it, Joe. All of this has to be done by Congress. Congress holds the bag. Congress holds the money. And they make the laws of who the money can go to. Well, what is Congress? What is this? Your congressional leaders? Yes, it's comprised of a House of Representatives and a Senate. Oh, and here's where the things get tricky. So let's break down some of the powers of Congress. Lawmaking again. Representation. Service of the constituents, back to that representation, oversight of the constituents, public education, and just overall conflict resolution. These six things are critical. The president can't just come up here with an iron sword and start swinging it. The Congress kind of balance out these key six provisionals. Found in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, power to, the Congress has, collect taxes to provide the general welfare of the people, to declare war. Like, I declare war. Well, you can't I declare war without the Congress saying so first. We haven't declared war since World War II. So what about all them other wars since then? Ha ha. That's how you get away with mass murder if you don't declare war. Uh-oh, that's another rabbit hole. We ain't gonna go there today. Congress has the ability to raise army and the navy, to borrow and coin money, to regulate interstate commerce, to create federal courts, and to establish rules for the neutralization of immigrants. Neutralization is a strong word. It almost can be considered as naturalization or assimilation of immigrants, but play on those words however you like. They kind of come out to the same thing. Rules for immigrants. For example, let's make it current. A lot of migrants and immigrants from other countries are being brought in from southern regions of the country, Mexico and others, and then just being shoveled up to New York, shoveled up to Chicago and buses and whatnot. Well, they're going through it. Taxes going up, people's houses again. It's a lot of mess going on. Just look it up. The naturalization of these immigrants and foreigners to this country is something that Congress has the outright control of doing. Unfortunately, right now, they're not doing nothing. So it's causing a hardship on these major cities. Not able to work, not able to get clearance. Just basically just having humans living in our streets from other countries. No background check, just here. And shoveling them on these, I think you should say democratic cities for the most part. Wild times in the immigration field. But Congress has the overall power to do all of these things. They control the bag of all of these different things. Within the Congress, as mentioned, there's two powers. There's two sides, if you will. There's the House, then there's the Senate. The power of impeachment goes through the House to bring formal charges against the president, vice president, and or civil officials of the national government. Again, currently what's happening to Brother Joe, it went through the House. House of Representatives. All revenue bills must initiate in the House. That's just how it is. this ain't really a revenue bill for the impeachment of Joe, at least the allegations for impeachment of Joe, but it has to start there, and it has started. But the big but, the big booty in the thing is the Senate has to approve it. So the House can come up with anything. They can say everybody free health care for the rest of their life, but the Senate gonna be like, hold up, we control the bag, and we don't like that. And that's what happens a lot of times, you know. So the Senate must approve. Now, the powers of the Senate is the power to try impeachment. With the Chief Justice presiding, McCarthy, at this current time, I do believe, need 2/3 majority to conflict. Two-thirds got to get down with this. The power to approve major presidential appointees like Supreme Court Justice. And we're going to have another segment on the Supreme Court, so stay tuned, because we're going to get to that. And Clarence, I ain't going to curse on here, but we're going to get to Supreme Court later. And the power to approve treaties with different countries, treaties with allies, treaties with enemies. That's a whole nother rabbit hole. But also needs 2/3 of approval of the Senate to make that happen. So again, House can make up things. All the revenue bills, they have to originate from the House. Also, any allegations or inclinations of impeachment has to go through the House. The Senate is the other check and balance that says, well, we may do this, but how much it's going to cost? We carry the bag here in the Congress, and we going to allow this or we're not. That's just what they do. Now, when they get in these altercations, verbal altercation, legal altercations, congressional altercations, intentional obstruction can happen. These people get up here in the Congress and they make prolonged speeches to delay legislative action. Unlimited debate. They can go back and forth for days and hours and weeks. What is this? It's called a filibuster. Well, why would you need this? Why would you need to fill up and bust some when we're trying to get laws passed to oversight and service the constituents with proper representation in this country? Why would you want to do that? Well, it's extended debate to block a vote as a way to limit or derail the majority party from passing bills. So the Senate folks don't want the bill passed through the House, so they'll get up there and talk about it for weeks at a time until it's just delirious and nobody else won't talk about it no more. That's wild. At the same time, the Senate can come and want something to go through, and the House can sit there and pull the filibuster too. So it's really not helping none of us regular folks. Get rid of the filibuster, Joe, or the next president. It's not fair when it's used against one side, nor is it fair when the other side uses against the other. It's a bunch of catty. You hit me, I hit you first. You hit me, I'm going to hit you again. It's a bunch of back and forth. I like this, but I don't like it because you don't like what I like. So I'm going to sit here and stall it up. That's petty. Both sides of the congressional aisle here do that. So we got to get rid of the filibuster, y'all. By all means, filibuster is bad. When you hear filibuster, somebody capping. Somebody making up stuff just to stall. They stalling. That's what filibuster is. It's broken down. The Congress broken down in committees. I'm going to hit on these subcommittees. I think we're going to stop right there. There's different committees, right? If you've been in any group, the Robert Rules of Order, any type of structure, organization, nonprofit, community group, whatever, Greek letter organizations, you got your group that decide the main thing, and then you have subcommittees. The Senate does the same. The purpose of the Senate subcommittee serves as a screening device, allowing only small percentage of bills put forward to take up the time of the House and the Senate. So all the stuff the Senate want to do, and the House would like to do, you know, the subcommittee is like, we're going to weed through some of these bills. So the ones we get to really fight over and debate over, the ones that possibly get up to filibuster land, where we go back and forth for days unwarrantedly to the people, these subcommittees kind of eliminate and cut through some of that red tape, and just some of them just don't even go past. Some of them can be added into already existing bills. Some of them can be merged in and negotiated on. The subcommittees handle this. There's appropriation subcommittee. committees of Congress that decide which of the programs passed by the authorization committees will actually be funded. Authorization use handle the money again. So the appropriations committee is basically going to decide again, well, does this money even allocate properly for them? Is this too much money going in here? Kind of like to the student loan debate, if you will, how that was going bad and when the Supreme Court got cut off. But at the same time, PPP loans came out. That went through Congress. And they were like, yeah, go ahead. It's going to be a lot of money, but they need this money for the PPP. Now, some of them scammed off the PPP. Shout them out. I mean, God bless you. I didn't do it. But somebody did, and they still probably eating off that. That went through Congress. That went through these appropriation committees. House Rules Committees. Committee unique to the House, which is appointed by the Speaker of the House, reviews most of the bills coming from the House committee for a floor vote, meaning inside with the regular folks, and which gives each bill a rule. I need some water. I got tripped up. It gives each bill a rule. So this bill, what it says on paper, but we're going to do it like this. We're going to handle it like that. The House and Rules Committee. They put rules to it. So it ain't just, we're going to do all, it just checks and balances, y'all. There's more checks and balances to these subcommittees. They're specialized committees within standing committees. So the Committee for Healthcare has a subcommittee. The Committee for Public Education has a subcommittee. Back to that student loan reference. And so on and so forth. You get the gist. Only the House of Representatives has subcommittees, though. Let's make that a key asterisk, and not the Senate. The Senate is like, I guess you can say the dad that oversees the money, per se, in a patriarchy standpoint. And the House is more like mama. She making all the rules. All the money kind of, you know, circulates to what mama want to do with it. And it just sometimes go to papa over there in the Senate after it gets through committee, subcommittee, floor vote, House rules and committee, things like that. What's the main difference between the representatives, House representatives and the Senate? You don't know? Well, good. That's why I'm here. I'm going to answer that for you real quick. Like, the House of Representatives has 435 members versus the Senate having about 100. House of Representatives have terms of 2 years, while the Senate can sit up there for 6 years. Again, daddy's sitting up there for a while. Arguably, you can say mama's the Senate and daddy is the House. But it just depends. It depends on who we put in there in these midterms, y'all, to represent the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. It comes back up on vote. Our political parties, our social capital, how we build up the Voting Matters episodes 1 and 2. Yeah, go back and tap into that. We talk about some of that. The House of Representatives has less visibility. The Senate has more visibility. It's the stepping stone for the president in the Senate. Because, you know, president going to come down at the top dog and be like, hey, what y'all Senate over there doing? It go through y'all, it come to my desk. A little bit more visibility in the Senate. House Representatives have no filibuster. Well, the Senate does, again. When it gets to the Senate, now we're going to sit back and try to stall it out. And it says, you know, on paper, it says the House Representatives have no filibuster. But, oh, they do it backdoor. They do it. They do it, too. More rules in the House of Representatives and a larger number of bills from passing, and encourages bills to be made throughout the Senate. Some of the things, the different authorizations, they create programs and put limits on how much they can spend. Again, that's going back to the House and Rules Committee. Those are some of those rules. It's just what it is. And this is the legislative branch making up the rules, also known as Congress, split in two halves of the House of Representatives and the Senate. This symbolic representation are efforts of members of Congress to stand for American ideas and identify with common constituency values. That's what it says, you know. Look around. Sometimes this works for us, folks. A lot of time it doesn't. Here recently, it hasn't. Okay, just be vigilant when these bills come down from the House. Sometimes it's just smoke and mirrors. Sometimes it's just a thought process of a different pact, a different group, a different lobby or something put together, and we don't think nothing else of it. Other times, it may be some meat in there. Maybe some meat on them bones. It may get to the Senate. Them jokers may put a 2/3 vote on it and not filibuster, and it may go to the president's desk to become law. That's how things happen. It's a process here. These branches are set up to govern us, to legislate, and we're here for it. And if you're not here for it, I'm trying to get you here for it. So at least you understand how it goes down, the basic fundamentals of it all. Let's see what else I got here on the legislative branch. Well, I have a few more notes here I jotted down, but I think that's it. We done did about 25 minutes. I done went longer than I said, y'all. Please forgive me. The lady in the back pew didn't stand up and start waving and shouting, so I just kept preaching. But that's it. That's all we're going to do. But wait a minute, Dub, you said it was 3 branches. I did. And there's one more. A big'un, as they say down here in the South. The judicial branch. I don't want to tap on it just right now, because that one's pretty heavy. That mainly for our Supreme Courts and other courts. And with that one, I'm going to tap into some laws and things too. But we're just going to stop right there. We're going to pause. We're going to come back into part 2 of the branches of government. So stay tuned. This is Blacker Than Usual Podcast. Tell a friend. Tell a mama. Tell a uncle. Tell a daddy. Tell a niece and nephew. Tap in, share this information, get it to someone else, Google it, have reference points to it, take notes. We'll be back here next time on next episode to unpack some more. Voting matters, first 2 episodes on this Civics 101 for our people of Blacker Than Usual Politics. We got more coming up. Stay tuned. Take care of your friends. Take care of your family. Take care of each other. Until next time. Peace.